Well, I love that song. I have to be honest and say I've heard that song before, but I never really took much notice of the lyrics till this week. When I Googled them and just read them through, I thought, wow, what an awesome song and declaration and proclamation of the goodness of God and about Jesus and his life and what he was coming to bring. Yeah, I love it. Thanks, Nick and team, for just sharing that and ministering to us with that. Hey, you know, one of the things I love about this season is the cricket. You know, you may or may not have noticed that there's almost been 11 days straight of BBL action every night. It's not all my family's cup of tea, but I love it. And then the test match, and what an awesome session yesterday. And, you know, I could easily kind of just get caught up in the cricket. You know, I'm watching cricket the other day, and Marguerite says to me, "Have you seen Max's, which is our dog, have you seen the dog's bowl?" And I go, "Oh, gosh, what? I didn't even know he played cricket." Sometimes you just get caught up in things, don't you? And, yeah, you just don't realise what's happening. Anyway, I want to continue today our festival of joy and hope. And I want to speak today about the anointing of fearless joy. I'm going to pick a passage, the same that Ruth read to you earlier. And I want to just read that to us now from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. It said, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby and guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" I just want to take a couple of insights about that and share around that this morning about the anointing of fearless joy. And the first thing I want to encourage us with this morning is, when the presence of God shows up, don't default to fear. When you read verse 9 in that passage, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them," they were terrified. Well, let's just think for a minute. Have you ever seen an angel? I know some of us have, and I know some of us haven't, and I know for myself, I'm longing the day to see an angel. And I've heard stories about people who've been walking in tunnels at night and seen angels who have been protecting them, or others who have seen angels in rooms or places. We're told that even in here in Grace Point, there's often an angel that sits in the top right-hand corner of our building. I'm yet to see that, but others have told me that he is there. And I imagine that when you see an angel, it would be quite a freaking out kind of experience. I imagine if you were a shepherd just chewing the fat and maybe not the fat of lamb, but chewing the fat and just chatting around the fire at night, and then all of a sudden in the sky this bright thing just stood right in front of you, an angel, and you're able to see it. You'd go, "Wow, what is that? Is anyone else seeing that? Maybe we've had a little bit too much wine, or what's going on?" That would be kind of something that could be quite terrifying, or it was terrifying for them. Or maybe the radiance of the Lord's glory. It says the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. I just want you to try and imagine for a minute what that might be like. Maybe you're at one of Nick's parties and disco scenes, and the 70s are pumping out, and Nick's in the corner pressing his kind of smoke machine, and the smoke is starting to fill and surround the room and just start to get higher and higher. And that sense of, imagine that's kind of like the Lord's radiance just coming and surrounding us. This feeling of that the radiance is there, and that as the Lord's radiance surrounds us, it doesn't become hard to breathe. Or the music doesn't get louder. It's the sense that we are aware that something is happening. Something is causing maybe the skin to tingle, or the hairs on our arm to rise, or something within inside of us to resonate with that presence, to start to feel something, to start to experience something, to start to encounter something. And sometimes when those things kind of happen, when we have the experiences, we start to freak out a bit. We can get terrified by those. We can start, oh, what's happening? What's going on? What's not? Because it's sometimes out of our control. And particularly if we're people of control, we start to react to that sometimes in a negative way. You know, we often pray and ask God to show up. Sometimes and often God does show up. And I want to encourage us when he does show up, not to freak out or not to be terrified, but to welcome the presence of God and to trust the presence of God. Isaiah kind of had a similar experience in Isaiah chapter 6. In verse 1, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. It was kind of like he hadn't seen that before. And all of a sudden he saw the Lord sitting on his throne. In verses 2 to 3, he says, the seraphim were calling to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Kind of a similar song to what the angels and the heavenly hosts were singing when Jesus was born and the shepherds were having that encounter. And it says in verse 4 that the seraphim's voices shook the temple to its foundations and the entire building was filled with smoke. Kind of like, again, that resemblance of the Lord's presence surrounding Isaiah and everyone that was in that temple. Isaiah's reaction was certainly the default to fear. He says in verse 5, then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. He recognized where he was in the presence of God. But then in verses 8 to 9 of that same chapter, chapter 6, the Lord speaks with Isaiah. And Isaiah encounters the Lord in a very powerful and distinctive way that sets his purpose and course for life and his future. You know, the world needed and still needs a saviour, so God sent Jesus, his son. Jesus is more than just a baby wrapped snugly in a manger. He's a saviour whose presence changes everything. And whether this year there's been lots of challenges with fires, with floods, and with COVID, and the year's not over yet, and there's still more challenges to come. But, you know, even in the midst of those obvious challenges, like every year, there's challenges that we all face every day. Some of us are facing housing challenges right now, where to live or mortgages or payments or all those kinds of things. Some of us are facing real relationship or marriage challenges right now. And this time of year has that kind of potential to bring out these things to the surface more so than lots of other times in the year. Some of us are facing financial challenges. Some of us are facing health challenges. Some of us are facing work and employment challenges. And the list could go on. We all need a saviour. We all need Jesus. And so when we pray asking Jesus to show up, expect that he will. But when he does show up, let's not default to fear. But let's look expectantly towards him, to his provision. And let's ask him, who are you wanting to be for me now? What are you wanting me to see right now? What are you wanting me to believe right now? What are you wanting me to take hold of right now in the midst of your presence that will change my situation and will change what's going on for me in response to this encounter with you? The second thing that I want us to be focused on this morning is that the angel says, do not be afraid. And this idea of do not be afraid, but receive the good news and the gift of great joy. In verses 10 to 11, it goes and it says that they were terrified. The shepherds were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Of all the messages the angel could have shared, he brought a message about good news and great joy. He could have brought a message and said, hey, shepherds, you better lift your game. You better take note. There's some things that are going to happen. Israel's in a pretty bad place. Herod's on the move. You should take note, should do this, should do that, get your lives in order. Repent. A whole bunch of different things like that. He could have come and spoken to Israel. He could have come and spoken to Herod. He could have come and spoken to whoever. The angel could have brought a whole bunch of messages that I'm sure maybe were key and would have been acceptable in that day. But the message that the angel brought, the message that he was sent, remember, angels come to minister on behalf of the Father. The message that he was sent to minister to the people was, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. So, if you got a message from the Prime Minister today, you'd probably want to take note of that and you'd probably prioritise that. Similar to lots of Christians take more note of prophetic messages from more pronounced prophets than they do from just someone else in church. I don't think, though, it's much difference from those prophetic. I think if God's speaking, God's speaking. We ought to take note of all the prophetic words we get. But the sense is that if God's speaking a specific message and he sent an angel to declare a message of good news about great joy for all people, surely that's a message you and I ought to take a lot of notice of. And we ought to prioritise that message of great joy. It's not just a throwaway message, it's actually a pivotal message. That's for all people back then, throughout the ages, and as much today and into 2021 and beyond as it is, as it's always been. So when you think about prioritising that message of great joy, because that's in essence what the angel brought, what is joy? Steve Backlund puts it this way. He says that joy is the childlike wonder and excitement of walking with God instead of working for God. Let me read that to you again. Joy is the childlike wonder and excitement of walking with God instead of working for God. Now, let me make an important distinction here. I'm sure that you all know this, so I'm just going to reiterate probably the obvious. But happiness is different to joy. Happiness is about what happens to us. Therefore, we can feel happy or sad. There's some things that make us happy and there's some things that make us sad. It's about what happens to us. And we could go further than that, that happiness is often determined then by our feelings, and our feelings are often determined by what we believe. But that's a whole other series or a whole other topics. But just in essence, happiness is about what happens to us. But joy is about what we know. Joy comes from what we know, not what happens to us. That's a really pivotal statement right there. Because Nehemiah talks about joy being joy is the strength of the Lord. And in the midst of battle, we need strength, and therefore we need joy. And so it's not about what's happening to us or about how we're feeling in that moment. It's about what we know and believe in that moment so that we can access the joy of the Lord, so that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that's really important to notice, that joy comes from what we know. It's about our beliefs and it's about God's truth. David puts it this way in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. He says, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And that's why we harp on at Grace Point about God's presence and it being so prominent in everything we do, because when we're in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. And when we get that fullness of joy, because it becomes about what we know, we can then access that, and the joy of the Lord becomes our strength in the midst of whatever we are facing, not just this year, whatever we are facing, we can access joy. And when we can access that, it changes our circumstances and our environment and how we perceive them. And then we can walk in places of peace and hope and prosperity and enjoyment because we've accessed joy. The angel actually reassured the shepherds and proclaimed, "Don't be afraid." I'm not sure if you realise, but there are 365 references in Scripture, in God's Word, to do not fear, don't be afraid, that kind of similar line. So in essence, there's one encouragement each day for each day of the year to not be afraid. You'd think that's something that we should take notice of, isn't it? Because fear is not a gift that we've been given, but joy is a gift that we've been given. It's also a fruit of the Spirit that we've been released. So the good news is that we don't have to be afraid. And every time we face fear, we can... Actually, that's not mine to carry. That's not my gift to open. That gift doesn't belong to me. I'm going to choose joy. I know where joy comes from. I'm going to choose joy instead. And I'm going to engage that. You see, to embrace joy, you have to let go of something. And that's a really key thing too about joy. When you are joyful, remember joy is what we know, it's not how we feel or what happens to us. So you can't hold on to a victim mindset and still have joy at the same time. If we're accessing joy for what we know about who God is, what he says, who he says we are, what he says we have, and what he says we can do. We can't hold on to unworthiness and have joy. We can't hold on to discouragement and have joy. We can't hold on to pessimism and have joy. We can't hold on to fear and have joy. Now, I'm not naive. You might be saying, well, I'm still afraid and I still feel I have joy. Maybe so. My encouragement to you was, have we really accessed joy? Or have we accessed a combo of kind of happiness and something that we think is joy but it's not really? Because when we access the joy of the Lord, it really does change things. It really does give us strength. The same message of the angel of do not be terrified, the same reassurance that the angel brought, is as much for the shepherds as it's much for us today. Don't be afraid, but receive the good news and the gift of great joy. A great question to ask ourselves in the moments of challenge and despair and terrifying moments is, why do I not feel joy right now? Why am I not joyful right now? That's a very sobering question, but it's a question that will answer where our beliefs are coming from or where what we know about joy is being sourced from. Because when we source our joy from the truth of who God is, about who he says we are and what he says we have and can do, then we can be joyful in all circumstances. That's why Paul says, rejoice always. Again, I say, rejoice. And the context of that verse in Philippians 4 goes on to say, bring before the Lord all your requests, all the things that are troubling you. You know, in everything, give thanks and pray about those things and rejoice always in the midst of that. The last thing I want to share this morning is this, that as we carry joy, as joy is ours, we are anointed to carry and release joy. See, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. So Jesus was anointed, in a lot of versions it says he was anointed with the oil of joy. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9 it says, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you. He's talking about Jesus, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Pouring out the oil of joy on Jesus more than anyone else. Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy more than anyone else. In Isaiah chapter 61 or in Luke 4, you'll read the commissioning of Jesus. We read the commissioning of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, but you'll read the prophet Isaiah speaking about that moment and what the incoming birth of Jesus would represent to all humankind in Isaiah 61. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to bring good news to the poor. And that's the good news of great joy for all people, which is about joy. That was the essence, that was part of the ministry that Jesus was bringing, to bring good news of great joy for all people. And in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, it says, to all who mourn in Israel, he'll give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. A joyous blessing instead of mourning. See, there's one of those things. You can't hang on to mourning. You can't have joy and hang on to mourning at the same time. Now, when I talk about us being, having an anointing to carry and release joy, there it is right there. We actually become conduits of releasing joyous blessing instead of mourning. Now let's think about mourning for a minute. It's obvious that some people have lost loved ones. They're mourning. They're in grief. But we mourn a lot of things in life. We may not give voice to that or recognise that, but lots of us are in mourning. We may not acknowledge it or realise it. We mourn the loss of jobs. We mourn the loss of relationships. We mourn the loss of opportunities. We mourn the loss of finances. We mourn the loss of a whole host of different things. Broken relationships or, things that haven't worked out the way that they've worked out. Lots of parents sometimes mourn the loss of time because now they're focused on their kids and they don't have time to do all the things that they want to do. We mourn the loss of autonomy or the loss of responsibility. Or the loss of authority. We will mourn the loss of a whole host of different things every day. And in this season, some of those things, as I said, come to the surface. Relationships or loved ones who are not with us anymore. Or opportunities. Or even in this season with COVID and other things. We will be mourning the loss of a lot of things. But as Christians, the Holy Spirit is in us for our sake, but on us for the sake of others. And here's where we carry, as disciples of Jesus, we carry the anointing of joy. And here's the opportunity we have to release that over other people. We have the opportunity to come alongside people and release a joyous blessing instead of mourning. And so where we find people mourning this season, rather than being focused on ourselves, we have the opportunity to say, I'm going to release a joyous blessing over that person. Can I pray for you? Or we just can quietly pray for them. Or we can just place a hand on them and quietly and in our mind say, I release joy over you right now in the name of Jesus, who came to bring good news of great joy for you. That's such an opportunity we have in this season. In John 14:12, John says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. And then in John 14:16, he says, and I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy, and therefore as disciples, we also have that anointing, and there's also that expectation that we'll also release that anointing just as Jesus did, and even in greater ways than Jesus did. We carry good news of great joy to release over everyone. What a gift we have to actually give this Christmas and ongoing. It's already ours. It's a gift that we already have to release over others. And so I want to just encourage us, when the presence of God shows up, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Look in that moment for the joy of the Lord and encounter him. I want to encourage us not to be afraid, but to receive the good news and the gift of joy. And I want to encourage us and remind us that we have a gift that we have been anointed with. That's the gift of joy, and that we've been commissioned to carry it and to release it. So before our worship, as our worship team comes and we sing again some of the truths of the coming of Jesus, maybe you might like to make some declarations over your life. Maybe you might like to say out loud, I am anointed to release joy. I am anointed to release joy. In the name of Jesus, be filled with joy. Maybe speak that over your family or those watching with you in this season. In the name of Jesus, be filled with joy. In the name of Jesus, I break off fear and replace it with joy. Or maybe you might like to insert something there. In the name of Jesus, I break off whatever it is you want to break off and I replace it with joy. There's a great exchange that takes place at Christmas of gifts, and there's a great supernatural exchange that can take place as well, and that's the exchange of great joy for all people. Join with me in exchanging that this Christmas, Grace Point. And let's worship the Lord together now as we worship him with another great carol.